This show is brought to you by ERN. Find us online at ernlive.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome to our Working Mother team our new senior digital editor, Audrey Goodson-Kingo. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Audrey.
Thank you, Bettina. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you. We always talk about on Working Mother Radio, our website, workingmother.com, and all the amazing content that we feature and the videos and we're constantly bringing you new information all the time. And it's so exciting to have you on board and overseeing all of this. Like, it's a great time right now for Working Mother, and there's so many great things happening. So thanks so much for joining the team and bringing us exceptional content.
Thank you. I'm excited to do it. There's, like you said, it's an exciting time. There's a lot of good content out there too. A lot of good ground to cover. So I'm excited to be part of it.
Absolutely. Now, one of the great things that you've got here up on the website under our family category is a story about someone who many of us have followed for years, Lisa Ling. I have great respect for Lisa Ling and the stories that she does. And she's talking about C-section risks and egg freezing in our new series on CNN. And you had a chance to sit down with her and talk about these subjects. And we'd love to get your take on what she had to say.
Yeah, it was really interesting because Lisa kind of came to it through her own personal experience, which was she had a C-section with her first child and everything was fine. And then when she had one with her second child, she got a hospital infection that led to a lot of complications. And so the timing just happened to be right because she was already working on this documentary for CNN about how birth in the United States has become increasingly complicated and expensive. And she was just so interested in the topic. And obviously then she had her own experience with C-section that really just made her, question, why do we have such a high elective C-section rate in this country? And it really led to some interesting material.
It's fascinating because she talks about how prior to being pregnant and having children, she had some kind of intolerant attitudes about some things related to working moms and some of the challenges that they face. And I remember prior to getting pregnant with my daughter Cassie, 7 years ago, I got pregnant with her now. I remember starting to look into childbirth and C-sections and different ways to deliver and not feeling, I went into it feeling as though I knew plenty. And by the time I started reading things and really researching information, I felt so ignorant. I felt like I knew nothing. And it's really nice to see that she's shining a light on this and really creating a forum for this conversation, because I think that a lot of us don't really understand the options behind childbirth and what goes on with elected C-sections and the benefits and the downsides and the financial aspect of it and all of that combined. And it's a lot to take in as a new mom or new mom to be.
Definitely. Yeah. I was in the same boat myself. I had a C-section with my son, and you're right. You feel like you've read all this information and you feel like you're prepared, but every birth is so different. And that's another thing that she touches on in the series, that, there's so much to learn and there's so much to know that, even people working in that field are still learning. And so to me, I was really happy to see her shining a light on some of these subjects.
Now, it was interesting because you actually went there and asked her the question, why do you regret your second C-section? And I found that fascinating because there are a lot of women out there who go into, after they've had a first C-section, they go into the next childbirth assuming that they need to have a second C-section. And she says there was no medical reason why she needed to do that. And I know many women don't realize that.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing that I talked about with Lisa that actually didn't make it into the interview. But obviously, another difficulty is that doctors in the U.S. are kind of reluctant to perform, you know, what's known as, you know, vaginal birth after C-section or VBACs. And so, you know, a lot of people don't even know that that's really an option because a lot of doctors are reluctant to perform those surgery, to perform a vaginal delivery after a woman's already had one C-section.
Now, another interesting statement that came out of this was the two fertility experts, this is Lisa was saying this, the two fertility experts we talked to said the best gift you can give your daughter after college is to help her freeze her eggs. Now, let's talk about the conversation that led to that statement.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, and this is something that, you know, where it really applies to working mother and something that a lot of working mothers see is that you're building your career throughout your 20s and your 30s, and a lot of women now just don't really think about having children until they're in their later 30s or early 40s. And, you know, the point that Lisa made was, unfortunately, it is a lot of times more difficult at that point. The one thing that, you know, fertility experts know is that the younger your eggs are, you know, the higher your chances of being able to get pregnant. And so that's why those fertility experts that she talked to mentioned, you know, that that's a, for some, if you have the money, perhaps it's something you should look into.
It's fascinating to me because my sister started having her kids at 23 years old, and I was the, you know, the career one, and I was really focused on work. And I remember when I was 26, she's older than I am. I remember when I was 26, she said, "You need to freeze your eggs." And I looked at her like she was out of her mind. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm fine. You know, there's no problem here. I don't need to freeze my eggs. I don't know what she's talking about. She's on the crazy train. Right. And, you know, because it really wasn't something that people talked that much about. And I think the more we have conversations about things like freezing your eggs, the less jarring the idea becomes to women in their 20s and in their early 30s. Because to me, when that was brought up, it just seemed so ludicrous. And so, right. And like there was a lack of hope in the statement. You know, oh, what? I'm not going to marry the right guy. I'm not going to, you know, have my kids the way that I want to have them. Like you, because your 20s, you're really just so hopeful and you have all these great plans and things that you want to do. And it seemed super pessimistic to me that to right. do something like that. And so, you know, there's that emotional side of things. And I'm not even talking about, you know, the hormonal emotional side of it, just where you are in your 20s and your mindset, the emotional side of that really, that's a big hurdle to overcome when you're recommending that women start freezing their eggs. Because I just remember that feeling of, you're out of your mind. You know, that's right. Just a silly. And it turned out, you know, I waited until my mid 30s. I waited, you know, I felt like I was under the gun by the time I had my kids. And it was, you know, and you walk into a doctor's office at 35 and they tell you your advanced maternal age and you're like, what?
Right. Yeah. I think I was reading now they're calling it geriatric pregnancy or something terrible like that. Yeah.
Right. You want to turn around and punch the guy. You're like, what are you talking about? Advanced maternal age. I'm fine. I don't know. Where are you going with this? But, right. You know, but from a fertility standpoint, you have to look at everything very differently. So I'm really glad that this conversation is being more, is opened up and being looked at more often and more thoroughly, because there are so many angles on this to examine. And Lisa Ling, I feel like, is just the right person to do it. Was there anything that she said to you that you felt was surprising, or that, you know, you learned something new in the conversation that you had with her?
You know, not really for the most part. I think, you know, the thing that really stuck with me was just, you know, that the main thing she wanted women to take from this was just to kind of release the stigma that comes with a lot of these things. And like you were talking about with egg freezing, for example, or with C-sections, one thing that we touched on was just the mommy guilt complex that I think comes with, built into so many of these subjects, because everyone has this idea in mind of the right way to give birth or the right time, like you're saying, to give birth. And so, you know, when her main point was not to shame anyone, but to just say, let's talk about these things. Let's reduce mm-hmm. the stigma. Let's really get the conversation out there.
Yeah, and I think that's so vital and so important. Thank you so much for taking this on and sharing this with us, because I think it really is an important subject matter and you did a great job of covering it. And we're so looking forward to more great content from you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Thanks, Bettina.
Absolutely. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This show is presented in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back.